Okay, welcome guys to the 11th GMTC weekly meeting. Let's go ahead and introduce ourselves from top to bottom, whoever has the wall icon.
Okay, I am Sinku. I'm from the blog exploitingmyserver.com, and, you know, Gold Guru, I guess, is what we're calling ourselves. And, yeah, you can tweet me questions on Twitter at D-O-L-L-A-D-A. 06 if you want for the show right now, if you don't want to put anything in the lounge chat box or anything, but that's about it.
Catharsis of Grizzly Hills, Gold Maker, Shauna Farmer, and Level Racer Extraordinaire.
Chicky from Akhnathal, just Gold Maker.
Mage from Storm Rage, just my two copper. Follow me on Twitter on Mage Shadow.
Nasta from Bailgun. I don't really have blogs, but you can follow me on Twitter at Nosdeath.
Princess Pone from Anubarak, and you can follow me at Princess Pone, and there's no I in Princess.
Schwartz, I run a casino in-game.
This dude hit gold cap this week, first time, and I'm your IRC chat guy.
Congrats, man. I'm Vince. I write on bankofwacom.blogspot.com. I haven't updated in like 2 weeks. Although I did just hit 500k, so I'm not the cap, but I wrote something for WoW Econ, so that should be up in a few days.
Whoever has Bangkok.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'm Bangkok Bill from Bangkok Bill's World of Goldcraft at bbwog.org. I currently just make lots of gold with all professions.
Hello, my name is Flux from the blog Power Word Gold. You can find my blog powerwordgold.blogspot.com. Twitter is at Power Word Gold.
Hi, I'm a Gold Queen. I have a blog. That's it.
Okay, that'd be everyone, I think. Yeah. Congrats on the gold cap this dude.
Yeah, thanks.
So, let's see, any questions you guys have in chat?
Somebody asked something about, Addicted to Azeroth. I don't know what that is, though.
That is hopefully coming up soon, I think, but we don't want to put out something that sounds like ass, so we're polishing it as much as we can right now. It'll be out when it's out. It shouldn't be real incredibly long, I wouldn't think. But it's just...
Oh, is that y'all's new podcast?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I got a question. With 4.1 just around the corner, and Maelstrom Crystals dropping in price, what do you guys think about the rare recipe enchants for the wrist, the one that give 50 in strength and agility? Do you think those rare recipes will go up in price for demand or down?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I thought, like, as soon as I heard the news. I think I wrote a little piece on that. I think they might go up because, you know, people are going to be able to make the scrolls to sell at profit for, like, low enough that people can buy them. And they might be popular enough that people are going to want them. Yeah, I don't know though. Like, it kind of still a steep investment. You know, 5-6K for something that might actually end up going down in price.
Yeah, I'm still unsure about that either. Don't know if I want to buy it now or later.
Yeah, I've been keeping my eye on it.
I would say that if you can find it for between 1.5 and 2K, you're not going to take too big of a risk and go ahead and get it. Other than that, I personally, I've had bad experiences with the market right now, so I'm just kind of waiting to see. But I've seen people advertise them for low because not a lot of people are buying them right now, or buying the patterns or the enchants.
I think demand's going to go way up, but I definitely think, you know, I would say, depending on your server, if you have very aggressive enchanters in the market, it's probably a bad idea. But if you are one of those enchanters, then obviously I'd say go for it. I think there'll be a lot of money to be had in them. Bracers are one of the items they said they're going to include in the 353 epics in CA and ZG, so there'll be a lot of people with epic bracers needing enchants.
I think the price of the enchants will go up, but the price of the recipes won't, because I think there's already enough people like Flux and I who've already spent a ton of money to get the recipes, and I think those people will just be pumping out so many enchants once the price of Maelstrom Crystals goes down that the price for recipes won't really go up, because they'll already be stocked on the enchants will be stocked on the AH already.
I want to know how far the crystal market is going to fall to.
I'm expecting like 200-300 gold per crystal, at least, you know, for the first month or so.
Yeah, they're also adding it to the honor vendor, right?
Yeah.
And the justice points. I think we're going to see a lot of people, like I know in my hunter, I'm already like capping at 4K like a lot because I don't have anything else to buy. Like I bought all the heirlooms, I bought all the gear for my guys. So I think a lot of people are going to be converting, trying to use the Maelstrom Crystals as a dump, because all the other stuff, even though they're making it cheaper, like they're making all the vendor goods that you can buy with justice points cheaper, I still don't think they're going to be worth it. And people are going to be using that as a dump, because if you hit 4K, you got to get rid of them, or you just waste them, or you don't get them at all when you do, you know, you get more justice points. So I can see a big influx of crystals from that.
I personally think they'll hit 100G in 3 weeks on most servers. I just think it's going to be flooded from the new ZAZG and from Justice Points. And, you know, people running those ZAZG aren't, not only they're going to get the mails from DEing that gear, they're going to be getting hordes of Justice Points, which they'll be converting into even more mails. It's just going to be a real vicious cycle that, in the first 3 weeks to a month, I think they'll bottom out real fast.
I think that I said this on my podcast that's up today, but also I think that if there is money to be made, it's going to be very slim margin over mat values for that. I don't think people are really going to want to spend much over mat cost for those enchants.
I don't know, man. If I'm able to make like, well, it depends. Like some of them, you know, like the mighty stats. I mean, the return is ridiculous on that.
I'm only talking about the Bracer enchant specifically.
Oh, okay, the Bracer enchants. Yeah, that might be a little. I think like weapon enchants would probably be decent, as well as maybe the 20 stats or like the boot enchants. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think people care about Bracers as much.
Well, they are.
See, the Bracers.
Go on.
The Bracers are at least protected by a rare recipe. The weapon enchants are only protected by 5 males. Like, those recipes are available to any enchanter. I think best profit margin will be on the Bracers, just because you'll theoretically have less competition there than on a weapon enchant, for example.
I think what we can do is try to influence the trade chat a little bit, try to keep getting, or try to get the prices on those enchants down to like 1 or 2K before, you know, people start wanting them to use them for the cheap crystals.
I think they're going to be in demand. I don't know, people who have alts and don't have the enchants just because they're so expensive right now, they're going to want them. So, and just because they're best in slot and they are just static, you know, pure stats, I think they will be in big demand.
Yeah, I think once the price is less than what people in their head think, which is like 4K, like when you think about spending 4K or 6K when I first started doing it on an enchant, or you could buy like an epic piece of gear, like that is just not worth it so far.
All right, we have a question in chat. One sec.
The question from Luke Crazed is asking how many of you are doing the Obsidian Shuffle still. He's been doing it for a while now and has about 50k in about a week timing. It seems like it's slowing down just because rare gems are going for 25 to 45 gold each, but it's still going strong for him. So he wants to basically know just who's still doing it and if there's profit in it still.
I can say that it's pretty much still my favorite way to make money. I honestly don't care at all about the rare gems, like the only ones I care about are maybe Ember Topaz and Inferno Rubies, but even those, like, I don't even really bother with those anymore. It's all about the uncommons, it's all about the green quality ones, and focusing on that and jewel crafting dailies, and the profit's gotten less, but it's so easy to pump out a bunch of gems, and with, at least on my server, there's so many jewel crafters that it's crazy. Like, they need daily gems, they want to do, you know, because you can use it for transmuting meta gems, transmuting rare gems, and also you can use it for transmuting Well, and for doing the jewel crafting dailies, there's just so much that uses it that I think the market's going to keep strong for quite a while.
Yeah, I've definitely still been doing it too. I mean, right now I'm prospecting 300 stacks that I got for like 28 to 30 gold. And it's like completely constant. I'm getting that much and it's just ridiculous. I just want to ban my botters for a couple days so I can get a break from this crap.
Yeah, I've
the bots on my
like
server.
5 to 10 stacks at a time is all I ever really bought. I like get enough. I watch the daily. If I don't have enough of that daily gem, I'll like do 10 stacks and I'll just kind of stop there because, yeah, it gets overwhelming. So
the bots on my server have just overtaken it, and I've actually have 3 people I've decided to payroll to do all of my shuffling. My profit margin per stack's down to maybe 8 to 10 G for obsidian, 8 to 10 for elementium. I have a piles in front of rubies I can't move, so. At least on my server, I'm starting to think maybe it's time I just pack up shop and leave that market. There's just 1,000, 2,000 stacks of ore coming up every day on the AH, and I can't keep buying it all to artificially keep prices high.
I stopped doing the shuffle like a month ago. I mean, it's crazy. You can't keep up with the bots. You think, you know, oh, I can control this. I'm going to make so much money. No one else is going to make money, but you can't keep up with it.
Well, one thing I've noticed is that it doesn't seem like people that are farming a lot or bots, it doesn't seem like they take that second step to just like prospect all that ore and vendor it. Like it seems like they would make more money by doing that, but that takes time, and I guess they're more worried about selling what they have rather than taking a little extra time and doing that.
The G per hour.
Blizzard is
cutting.
Actually doing like work to counter bots. If you report them, they are actually actively going after them now. I'm not even kidding. I've got rid of about 15 of them in the last 2 weeks, and you just put them on your friends list, wait till they come on, and then you could, a lot of times you can go right out to where they are tracking them, and if Blizzard actually, if you open a ticket and tell Blizzard that, yeah, I tracked them out here or whatever, and then you can whisper to them, and you know, based on the replies that they give, you can pretty much tell when they're a bot. If you report them, put them in a ticket, within 24 hours every single time Blizzard took care of them on my server.
The problem is the tool they're using is untraceable at the moment. Well, it's not untraceable.
No, it's not.
Undetectable. Pyrox is undetectable at the moment.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
Then why, every time a bot gets banned, a new one is stepping in on most servers, on the few servers I frequent.
The way that these bots work is they all go off of a coordinate system, and they hit the exact same coordinate on the exact same profiles every single time. And when they hit those, all you have to do is point it out to Blizzard, and they can go look, and I'm sure they have a list of these coordinates that the same people are crossing over and over again, and the odds of even two people crossing over the exact same coordinate on a XY plane that the entire game is set on is slim to nothing. And if people are doing that routinely, it's easy as hell to spot. It's just people have to actively report them to take care of
it. Well, no, that's my point. It's undetectable in the sense that, as it stands right now, when someone starts using that bot program, it takes someone to report them to get rid of them. They don't just, it doesn't just set Warden off and the count doesn't get locked down instantly. Like, I have
well,
yet to
that's
see
not
most
true
of these
either,
bots
though. Every one of these updates
down.
That come out, every one of these updates that come out, like, where they're updating tools, it's always followed by a ban wave of like 10,000 people, and Pyrox is included in that. If you go to mmowned.com, you can see every single day that there are hundreds and hundreds of people saying I was using Pyrex bots and I was, you know, I was botting for 8 to 10 hours a day or whatever the hell that, you know, their story is. And they say, and I got bought, you know, I got banned and I've been doing it. I've been using the same account and the same bot for 5 years now. It's very detectable. It's just when they update the tool sets, these people that are, you know, updating the bot, they do it as well to counteract it. It's, you know, it's a cat and mouse game, but it's very detectable. Blizzard just has to find different ways every time after they update it.
No, it's just currently as it stands. I mean, I've gotten rid of roughly 10 to 15 bots this week myself, and there are 10 to 15 more up every day. I'm putting a new name in. I'm putting two tickets a day, basically, with one new name. And every time I turn around, there's another ticket to be put in, which suggests that all they're doing is banning people once they've been caught. They're not, you know, these were people that weren't there, you know, a week or two ago. This suggests it isn't detectable beyond the fact that me reporting them lets Blizzard know, oh, we should look into this. But they can't detect it at their very base level and actually stop it from occurring in the first place.
That's not true though, because how, if it's easily detectable on their side, how do you think that they caught this archaeology bot thing, you know, through Pyrox or whatever? It's, they had ways of detecting it. It's just, you know, it's not as easy. The reason that the archaeology bot got detected was because there was some shitty coding involved in it, but there's coding involved in this, like the gathering bot or whatever, and all this other stuff too, that is, as soon as they find out what it, like, you know, what the framework of this setup is, you're going to see a massive bandwave to that too. But in the time being, it's just small little slip-ups that, like, I've been a number of times where you're out, you know, looking for stuff, you're out, you know, gathering on your own, and you'll see a random tell of something with script in it, and that's every single time, that's obviously it's a bot. Like, it's stuff like that is where it slips up on, and it's not impossible to catch. And I'm, you know, Blizzard's obviously not telling us what they know about, you know, with this bot and everything like that, but I guarantee you that they're ahead of the game and they know what's going on, and they can catch these people.
Yeah, I think the important thing that you're saying, to me at least, is that it's worthwhile to actually report these guys to help protect the economy.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just, the semantics, I don't know if Adam is understanding the semantics, is that it's not, there are many bots that they can catch on their own and ban. These have to be reported at the moment. There's no, they can't just go out there and look for everyone going through XY plan and ban them, or at least they don't seem to be doing that. They seem to be taking a reactive approach to dealing with these bots, not a proactive approach. And that was my point.
This recent ban wave of, I've heard anywhere from 6,000 to 60,000, but it wasn't just archaeology botting that got banned. It was a bunch of other stuff, and they caught all those people. So it's not just reporting. Like, reporting it, yeah, you're going to see them go away faster, and it's always going to be temporary because they're always coming back. But they are catching these people. Like, it's not some unfound thing that people can just bot until they get reported.
All right, did you want to add something? Sorry.
Yeah, just to go back to the original question real quick, I think I'm still doing the shuffle, but I think what's happening is it's entering a period of uncertainty. I think on most servers, it still is profitable, but you might have to look at how you make a profit. So for instance, from right now on my server, the price of gems and ore is really cheap, but at 39-40 gold for obsidian, I can just vendor everything. So it is still profitable. The question is more, becomes like, is it worth your time? But I am definitely seeing it staying profitable for a while.
Yeah, for me, I've started, like, I mean, the shuffle market going down for me has actually kind of been a relief in a way. I mean, it's not that I like, you know, basically it's given me a chance to actually look at other stuff and other ways to make money and not just focus on this one thing so much. I've been, you know, whether it's going back and selling vendor recipes or just doing other things, like trying to diversify, and it's been a lot more fun. Even though the nice thing about the shuffle is it only takes about 20 or 30 minutes a day to maintain, so it's not that much hard. It's not that hard to make some good money.
All right. Let's move on to the next question. The question is, when do you guys think Blizzard will nerf the vendor value for uncommon catagems, and what effect will it have on the market?
Why did they make it so high in the first place? I think that they were onto something when they made it so high.
I think it was initially intended to be a sink for valor, or for like justice and valor points or whatever, wasn't it? A lot of people were bitching about not having any ways to spend it because they have everything. I think that's one of the reasons why they put it in. I think
Blizzard they've in the past gone back and changed the vendor values for items. I know one thing for certain is the Cobalt Triangle Shield. They nerfed that as soon as Cataclysm came out. It used to vendor for, what was it? I don't remember, but I know they nerfed it, and it was like you could buy a stack of Cobalt for 20G, turn them into the Triangle Shields, and then vendor them for profit, and you can't do it anymore.
My guess is of why the vendor value is at 9 gold is because they know that 3 different things rely on there being a supply of these uncommon gems, and so the vendor value keeps that supply constant. is what my guess would be, is why. I don't know if they're going to change that.
Zamboni on the GMTC forums has it in his head that they messed up on the rare and the common values of the gems.
So they're actually, the rares are too cheap?
Yeah, because they're lower than uncommon, right?
Yeah, that didn't make sense to me.
Yeah, I've heard talk about that.
At this point, though, if they were to revert the current values, that would basically change the whole economy. A lot of the economy is based off of what, you know, an uncommon gem vendor's forecut at the moment. It's where DE-ing maps, it's ore prices, it's a lot of things, rare gem prices.
Just recently, they haven't been caring about the economy. I mean, look at the Maelstrom Crystal new fix. I mean, that's going to change the whole enchanting economy. Blizzard doesn't change the economy.
Yeah, I mean, it's happened before when primals or whatever have gone from soulbound to non-soulbound. It's done it before. And when they've reduced or taken off cooldowns on alchemy, I mean, I can foresee at some point them taking the cooldown off of things like true gold and a few other transmutes. And at that point, you know, it kind of spins up a lot of those.
All right. Let's see. Next question. From Dan, 1984. He's just started making gold in Auctioneer. This expansion, he's wondering how much gold is enough to start doing cross-fraction trades.
I can say that it's not that much. I had the experience this week where I had 200 gold on a Horde character, and I bought like this Deviant Delight recipes for 3 gold a pop and sold them for 200 gold on the Alliance side. So it doesn't take a lot to get started. You just kind of have to know the markets well enough or be able to look to find out what's going for cheap and what's going for expensive.
Yeah, I'll have to agree with that. You really don't need a whole lot of gold to start off on the opposite faction. You send over maybe a couple hundred, I'd say 500, that'd be good enough to make you a couple grand once you buy, like, spend all of it and send it back to the opposite faction. Yeah.
I know. Auctioneer has an arbitrated search. I don't know if you need to like search one auction house, then log off, then search the other auction house, then use the arbitrage search. I'm not that familiar with it. Someone else might know better than me, but that might be one way to help. But the problem is you got to have good data on both sides, so you have to have been scanning both for a while.
If you're just trying to do cross faction, I'd suggest try pets. Those are, if you can get them for cheap, especially the Argent Tournament ones. I'm not really sure if they're cheap now, but if you can pick those up for cheap and they're faction dependent, you know, you can pick them up for 500 gold, turn them over to the Alliance side and sell it for a couple grand or two.
One thing I'd add, just looking at the question, I can't really tell by the way it's worded, I can't tell if Dan is saying that he just started playing the auction house or if he just downloaded Auctioneer. But if he just downloaded Auctioneer and started using that, I would recommend that he almost just skip Auctioneer and go get Trade Skill Master and learn that. I think it would be a better use of your time than learning the Auctioneer, which is now a bit older.
No, don't you be talking bad about my Auctioneer, man. Years and years we've been good friends. I love Auctioneer.
I still love it too, but Trayskill Master's my new fling.
Yeah, you know, I think the advice to narrow it down, like pick say pets, and figure out what pets sell on the Alliance side: kittens, moths, owls. What sells on the Horde side? Not cockroaches, but prairie dogs, snakes. And even if you don't have two accounts, you can take those pets and go to Booty Bay and start them up on the cross faction for 20-25 gold, and Alliance characters will buy them and just sell them in there. So that's one way to do a cross faction even without having someone on both sides.
All right, let's go ahead and move on. Question from Prince Kermit. What's your favorite vanity pet to farm, if you would farm one, and why?
I used to farm and sell the slimes back when they put the armor debuff, the defense debuff, and I'd pull it out and raid or sell it to people, and they'd pull it out in raids to wipe their tanks, but sadly enough, they don't give a defense debuff anymore. Still a pretty nifty pet, though. And they sell for a lot.
I know my wife has had good success finding the raptor that spawns in wetlands. Seems like she's found it a couple times, and that's one that's popular.
I farmed up the black tabby cat or whatever it was before it disappeared in the cataclysm. Haven't sold a single one yet, but hopefully toward the end of the expansion, you know, when people have more gold and just don't give a shit, or maybe even when the new pet achievements, might be able to start selling a few of those.
I've actually farmed a lot of pets back before Cataclysm. I still do it now every once in a while. The hatchlings with the nest. I have a couple alts parked at the nest. I have farmed the whelplings before. Those are pretty good if you can get one to drop.
An easy one to farm is just all the pets they sell in Dalaran. Like, just go to Dalaran, buy those pets, and go sell them on the auction house. Especially like the raptors, because people think they're like rare, but they're not. They're just right there, so you can sell those at sometimes on the auction house too.
Yeah, they're like 50 gold though, so the deposit cost on those sucks.
Yeah, it only takes a couple. I've sold a couple for like 300 gold, so it depends. But I haven't sold one for a while. Someone else has been doing the same thing.
Yeah, I tried, and I just kept getting undercut, and it just really wasn't worth, you know, canceling and relisting, just not selling it.
I was just gonna say, I've actually stopped canceling quite a bit of my stuff. I just let it run. I just let it run out. I guess I don't know if I'm getting tired or what, but I just let it run out. Does anybody know what you lose when you cancel it? What exact money you lose?
You just lose
whatever your deposit. Deposit.
Yeah, I've been noticing the deposits on uncommon gems for Kata were pretty expensive. Like 12 hours was like 75 silver. 24 hours is like a gold something. And I was like, I've been canceling these. I've been canceling like 5 times. I've already like lost all my profit.
Yeah, I stopped doing that. Like, I used to do that with the dailies. Like, I'd put up, you know, 20 stacks of one, and somebody, you know, people cut me enough, I'd cancel and repost. And now I'm just like, I'll just put up another 20 stacks of one, because I have hundreds of them.
Actually, what I do with those, the daily gems, is, like, my job lets me bring my own laptop. So, like, whenever it's the daily gem, like, I'll be posting throughout the day. Like, I'll probably just post, like, one stack of them, then I'll just keep posting throughout the day until it reaches a price floor that I set for myself. After that, I stop posting.
Yeah,
if people keep on recording.
I've been, what I'll do now is I'll post like 6 singles, and then I'll be doing other stuff, and then I'll come back, and like if I'm undercut, I'll just post 6 more, and then I'll come back a little while later, and I'll leave them all there. They're in 12 hours. I'll leave them all there, and like a lot of times they'll burn if the other person runs out or stops post through theirs, and they'll get to mine. The other thing I've been doing is posting 20 stacks for even like slightly above what the lowest price is, and my 20 stacks have been selling as well. So you know, if I have like 5 or 6 stacks, I'll put up 2 or 3 20 stacks. And a lot of times people that are cutting metas, that they don't want to click 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1 and go to the mailbox and take them out, especially if they're not using add-ons. So they'll just buy the 20 stack and be like, okay, I'm good. And it'll be like 10 gold, and the lowest is like 9, or it'll be like 11, and the lowest is like 10. So
actually, while you mentioned the metas, I actually have an update. I wanted to thank, there was someone on Just My 2K on the IRC channel that was talking to me after last week's. Someone undercut the agility meta to 100 gold a piece. He advised me to buy them all and then just sell them throughout the week. And I'm pleased to say I made over 20k using that method. So thank you to that.
It's also worth noting, it's a little bit of an aside, but there's a lot of listing fees and items right now that are probably suspect. For example, Elementium Ore is like 1/20th of the price of Obsidian Mortalist. So I have a feeling whenever they go through and maybe fix vendor prices, there's a lot of listing fees that I have a feeling are going to get swapped. Elementium Ore just comes to mind because it's so way far off base at the moment. It's like maybe 20 silver for 48 hours on a stack or something, which is just crazy.
Alright, let's go ahead and move on to the next question. Question is, how are you guys, or how are we combating the idiots that are auctioning the green gems between 9 and 10 gold?
I'm guilty of being those idiots. 10 gold to me is like, hey, if I can sell them for 10 gold, boom, like that's, you know, that's still profit. And so I guess I'm one of those people. It depends on the time of day of the week, but 10 gold to 10.5 gold is, you know, anything below 10, I usually won't even bother, but I sell them there because, I mean, profit's profit, so, yeah.
Well, I don't know. For me personally, I found that my server, there's a ton of people that don't use add-ons, and so I will put up, you know, a stack of 20 singles for, like, 850 bid, and then, you know, buyout that's 100% or more, and I'll usually sell at least half of them, even, I mean, at the regular price, so sell at the buyout. And then if the other 10 go for, you know, 50 silver below vendor price, I don't care.
Yeah, I actually did a thing where I turned off my add-ons yesterday while I was killing that mage in Hala for things, and it's been so many years since I've used the default interface. I think everybody here should turn off your add-ons and go just look at it, because
No,
but there's money to be made based on how retardedly it's set up. I mean, it's like, I think you can only sort by bid, and like, I mean, there's a lot of things about it you can take advantage of.
Nope, I hate the default UI, and it's just, no.
He's absolutely right, though. You can take advantage of people with it.
Yeah, look at it from the perspective of people that don't use add-ons, and how you can take how the default UI is set up and use that to your advantage. Like, if it's only registered by bid price, cheapest first, then maybe putting a lower bid is worth it, because yours is going to actually be ahead. You know, I know for me, when I'm using default interface, like, I'll either look at singles or I'll look at 20 stacks, because otherwise there's no way your brain's going to do the math to figure out how much a 3-stack divided up. I mean, you can mouse over it, but if people don't know how to do that to get the unit price, it's either ones or 20 stacks that you're looking at, because that's the only really way you can tell on the default interface what's cheapest.
I don't think I could ever go without add-ons. I mean, when the patch came and Bagnon was messed up for like a couple hours or a couple days, I wanted to shoot myself because everything was so messy and it wasn't organized. I would kill myself if I had no add-ons, I think.
Yeah,
that's like it was using one bag at that point, so I just completely skipped over that.
Yeah, I think the key point is that there's people that are proud of the fact that they don't use add-ons, or if they're just starting, they don't use them. So I think I'm going to do a post about it, I think, in the future, about taking advantage of the default interface for people.
Yeah, I do like that idea of you know, posting the higher bid but the lower buyout. Like, you do that with Auctionator really easily too. You might have to look into that for some of the gems next time, because I mean, especially if you like flood 20 30 gems there, they're probably not going to scroll through, and it's just going to be, oh, you know, those are the cheapest, even though technically they're not.
That's the two ways that you can undercut people, right? You can undercut with the buyout price or the bid price.
Back to the original question. If they're selling them for 9 gold, or any even 10 gold, I just leave them there. I don't touch that market and see if it goes up, maybe by a couple gold or two, but don't list at 10 gold. Because it's 75 silver deposit, and if you're better off just vendoring them if you're selling them at 10 gold. You're making, what, 25 silver per gem, which is just horrible.
He just posted a clarification to the question. Yeah, I mean, it depends. If you cut the gem and you're selling it at 9 gold, 75 silver, then you are really. But I think, like, if it's an uncut gem, then the list price is much, much lower. It's not 75 silver. I think it's a few copper. And so you can make money then.
Yeah, I think about 10G would probably be around the lowest, because you get your deposit back if it sells. And I think Flux was talking about like what the actual, you know, posting price is, you know, factoring in the auction house cut. So I think 10G is probably, you know, the safest you could post out without having to do, you know, math.
Yeah, and like I was saying a little earlier, if they're that low, maybe put up a 20 stack for 11 gold a piece and see, because those might, like, people that are just wanting to buy a 20 stack and get out are going to be willing to pay a little bit more for that.
All right, let's go ahead and move on to the next question. Hundrix, he's on the realm of Kama.
I think Chaos actually had a question that he keeps trying to post about enchanting scrolls. It's buried somewhere.
Oh, let me find it then.
I kind of feel bad. Keep skipping.
There we go. Okay. Question for the enchant from Chaos. Question from the enchanting pros. Which enchants will you stockpile for the weekend? And how many of each enchant will you stockpile and expect to sell?
I go ahead and answer that. I don't technically stockpile for the weekend. I just, you know, run a TSM scan and then usually craft about two of all profitable Kata and Wrath scrolls and just, you know, post them up and sell them throughout, you know, time to time. They don't always actually sell that quickly. Even, you know, some of the more popular ones like Hurricane and Avalanche, like I can maybe sell like three or four a week, even with, you know, babysitting the market, kind of.
Yeah, I wouldn't generally stockpile for the weekend. If you're trying to stockpile enchants, I'd stockpile for, like Flux said, Tuesday and Wednesdays, because that's when raids reset, and you can actually, like, people get most of their gear then. And I find those are the pretty good days where you can sell enchants pretty quickly.
I have been trying to keep Twink enchants in stock a little bit more often. I think I've sold two or three of the 22 int already this week.
Yeah, most of what I keep in stock for weekends is just BOAs at this point, enchants. I basically just sell my Kata level stuff as supplies. I don't actually craft the scrolls.
Yeah, I've been... Tough Shield, I think, is one I've been able to sell, and then I picked up Healing Power, and I'm going to start farming Upper and Lower Blackrock for those, for the mats for that.
Do you have a blacksmith?
Yeah. I've been doing that for the GEEs. I've been doing the blacksmithing for the Enchanted Thorian Blades, but for the Large Brilliance, it's been pretty easy to farm Upper and Lower Blackrock.
Yeah, good point. I found some guy who was just like advertising in trade that he was selling them for ridiculously cheap. So I got stacks and stacks of, you know, all those like tie-in vanilla mats for just dirt cheap. It's so nice.
Yeah, I kind of kick myself now because I saved up so much like Large Brilliance and stuff. And at the beginning of Kata, I was like, I need some bank space. I'm just going to sell these Large Brilliance and blah, blah, blah. And now I'm like, oh, if I just kept them.
Oh man, that's rough. Oh yeah, speaking of scrolls, do people sell the Major Intellect, the 35 int one? It's not I think you have to have be level 35 for it, but it actually sells pretty well for me.
No, I don't know.
I think the one that surprised me was is it agility to weapon? That's like a 20 something agility. That's, I think it's, how old is that? Maybe Burning Crusade. That one sells pretty well. I could be wrong about that.
Speaking of BOA engines, how are you guys dealing with the agility to weapon? The one that costs, was it Essence of Air or Elemental Air? Because mine server, they're going for like 200 gold in a price. I might as well sell the mats for it.
I have in the past been able to sell the plus 15 agility enchant for like 1,000 gold.
Yeah.
And some, you know, there are a bunch of the, like maybe 10 of the essences sitting for about 150 each, but I'm still a little bit wary of buying that. But normally, you know, I just go and snatch them when they're under 50G. But yeah, I haven't sold one in a long time just because of that.
Yeah, I've started actually using Undermine Journal for like certain rare cheap, like rare mats for cheap, like not just like rare recipes, but like a scale of an Nixie and a few other things that you can throw up in your Undermine Journal alerts, and that way you can pick up those essences and stuff when they come up from somebody just leveling and just throwing them up on the auction house.
All right, let's go and move on. Question. mounts, which ones are your favorite ones to sell, and which ones are the highest profit ones?
It's not really a whole lot of variety in that area, are there?
It's basically the trading card game mounts, well, besides the Crimson Charger. Is there another? I think I'm missing one.
It's the engineering mount. Yeah, or the Mechanahog.
I'll touch up. I haven't. It's really hard now to flip the trading card game mounts. Before Cataclysm, they had a forum. Blizzard had forums for the trading card game mounts, but now they don't. Like I'd say about a year ago, I picked up two Swift Spectral Tigers for about 120k total. I flipped both of those for about 300k profit. But if you're able to pick them up for cheap, do so. I know I've gone on the Undermine Journal a couple of times and looked them up, like Swift Spectral Tigers, and I've seen them down in the 50ks, which I was like, whoa. It's really just the trading card game mounts I flip. If you're trying to flip those, it's really profitable, but you need a lot of luck to find one.
This is kind of the answer, but not really. If you can look at mats for crafting certain mounts, especially like mats for the flying carpets and mats for the two engineering flying mounts, you can like Golden Draenites. Like when I had to do mine, I like had to buy them for like 30 something a piece. I know there's a lot of parts for the chopper, or not the choppers, the helicopters that come from Burning Crusade. That somebody that's just leveling engineering wants to make it, they need to. I'm laughing. Nicole said they need to have certain parts. So look at what they require. Check them on the auction house. You might find that like Golden Draenites, like and things like that, like corium parts, and there's even explosives, the elemental sephorium charges and stuff that you need for those. And look into that because you might actually make more off the mats than the mounts.
Sort of related. Kind of random, like a small little scheme I've had in my head, but I've never been able to execute. Has anyone considered using a goblin to buy the mats for the Drake and then selling them at a markup that's still below what non-goblins would have to pay for them?
I tried doing that cross-faction, and even, you know, offering to make the mount myself, you know, saying, okay, so I'll charge you 28k for the vendor mats. People are just suspect about it. It didn't work.
I've heard.
So
people,
I just.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say. So I just, when I make the Drake, I just end up with an extra, you know, 4.5k profit.
Yeah, I know people have theorized about there's a guild perk coming up. I think that's vendor cost off, but then also. If you're an alliance, buying the parts on the goblin on the horde side, or buying the parts for the chopper on the goblin.
Alright, next question from Dan again. Is there anything different that he should do on a small population server? He usually just likes to sell the leatherworking leg armor kits for about 1,000 gold. Leatherworking is his only maxed profession.
I mean, you should look into selling PvP gear. Like especially the mail. I just finally hit 100,000 on my rogue. It's the most the rogue has ever had, and just I got that solely through selling PvP gear and some other random things.
If you have access, a friend or anyone who can help you, one of the biggest things you can do to help yourself on a small server is sell both factions. I make more on my opposite faction on my server than I do on the faction I play, and on small servers especially. I mean, you're limited to such a tiny market. If you can expand to the other market, that can really help.
I've also heard that smaller server population servers progress slower through a lot of things. So a lot of times, like, things that are happening on the big servers last longer on your server because the raid progression is slower. Things happen slower, so you can still use tricks for longer.
Yeah, I'd say something, but I don't have a max leather worker.
I'd also look at reselling like rare recipes and things like that. Because you're on a low pop server, they're just going to be that much rarer. I think it'd be worth like go to your realm's forums and see if there's like recipe collectors or if there's like rare pet collectors, and then go set up with the Undermine journal, like the email, so you can be notified if any of the rare recipes or something get listed. Buy them up and then relist them, because on a small server, I think you could really kind of dictate the price for things like that if there's a market for them.
I'm on a small server, and the only problem with that is if there's somebody already doing it, it's really hard to have two or three people that are trying to actively work that market.
I would say also, just as a general leatherworking tip, keep your eye on the mat cost for the scraps for the Cataclysm leathers, and snap them up if they get too low, and then just make them into leather and sell the leather.
How's it going, everybody? Sorry, I might.
Dan just said that a guild just finished Ulduar a month before Cata came out, has a realm first. if that's true, I just switched servers.
My old server, Tarokar, they actually in January they got heroic 25 man Lich King. That's why I was just like, no. After I saw that, I was like, I'm transferring out. I can't stand it anymore.
Now, let's take it one step back, and I'll say that bad, poorly progressed servers, I think, are actually pretty good for gold making. Like Dark Moon Trinkets, where are they selling best? Poorly progressed servers. Crafted gear, where is it still actually valuable? Poorly progressed servers. Now, there's still certain servers where you can demand 1,000 G for a Chaos Orb and people pay it. So, there's money to be made even on bad servers.
And now with a guild, with the guild transfers, you know how to get all that gold back to your server.
They're gonna limit that, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just gonna say that guild transfers, I'll give you my 2 cents on that. I think if you're to transfer a guild, you're only gonna be able to do so much gold per person that's transferring. Say you have 10 people transferring, they're let 100K go, so it's like 10K per person that you're allowed to take with you. There's no way they're gonna let you take 2 million gold or whatever in the guild bank. Either, the 5K fortune cards, but I'm saying hard cash. Hard cash, they're not going to let you take all that. There's no freaking way. And I'm sure they'll put a stamp on how many items you could bring with you, too, as far as people transferring. Because that'll throw a whole server out of whack.
Okay. Another question from Chaos as well. Have you guys seen a price increase to large brilliant shards? He's noticed that the price has increased by double in the from 2 weeks ago.
Somebody reset the market. Somebody that was smart and has been able to maintain it. So you get in on that.
Aren't those much harder to obtain now since you can't get them from places like Strat and the old world zones that were 50 to 60?
Yeah, people.
I mean, it just takes
a
upper block, a lower BlackRock run to get about 13 or 14 of them. So
yeah, and by that level, people just blow through that in a day.
Yeah, I guess that's why the price is double, just because there's no way, no real. I mean, you could do BRD, but do you know how long BRD is? That place is like an hour or two long, and it's just there's no real supply there. There's a demand there, but really, you can do 20. I would get freaking tired of BRD after 10 runs. I get tired. I remember I ran my brother through there once, and that lasted 2 hours. I was just like, no.
There is one thing that I've noticed last time I did. I got lost when I went to look for lower BlackRock. It had been so long. There's a mob named the Behemoth, I think his name is, and he pats around down by BlackRock Depths. And its respawn is like messed up, I think, and he drops an item that disenchants in large brilliance. So if you're popping around there, go down and see if he's there and kill him and get your large brilliance.
Princess is
mage.
Oh, go ahead.
The top question at the top, or the top, yeah, the top of the chat. It's from Huntrix. Huntrick has a question. He has a decent amount of gold, and he has one bank tap filled with pyrite ore. Do you guys think epics will come from epic? Do you think that epic gems will come from pyrite ore? He also says he has 40 JC tokens, and should he keep stacking them up?
As far as the pyrite, I'd say go to Alto's blog. He just did a huge post about pyrite today.
I concur.
Thank you for concurring.
And Storm, that'll also answer your question as well. He goes into how to decide what your price range is for buying them.
Yeah, my thoughts are, like, you know, I know a lot of people are speculating that it won't just because, you know, they've changed the model and how the epic gems come, but I don't think you can afford not to. Like, if you have the gold that you can sink into it, like, not doing it is a huge mistake because, you know, worst comes to worst, you can just prospect it normally, and normally you can get a decent amount of gold prospecting it. But, you know, if you don't stockpile and it turns out that epic gems do become prospectable from it, you're just missing out on an absurd amount of gold.
I was talking to Alto about the pyrite ore on my server, and he thinks my server is, like, full of crackheads because my pyrite ore for the past week has been, like, 60 to 80 gold.
Well, jeez. Yeah, I mean, look at all the rest of your friggin' ore. Don't get me started.
I'm going all in on pyrite ore. I've upped my acquisition to 2,500, 2,500 stacks. I'm going to up it all the way to 5,000. That's my goal. I'm
stacks?
Personally
5,000
bullish on it.
Stacks or 5,000
yes.
ore?
5,000 stacks.
I almost have 4,000 ore.
10 G tanks worth. I'm very bullish on it, and the way I look at it is this. It's the only big thing on the horizon this entire expansion. You had Glyph Mist to get rich quick. This is your only get rich quick, probably, this entire expansion. That's at least my opinion. Maybe other people disagree with me, but I think this is the get rich quick of the entire expansion. And like,
I'm going to have to disagree with you on this one. I don't think it's coming from pyrite, my opinion.
Oh, it's fine. But I mean, I think, you know, this is the only get rich quick. And if it doesn't pan out, then there is nothing else on the horizon that will require this level of investment. This is
There's no such thing as a get-rich scheme in WoW. You just do your time and...
There was Glyphmas. We had over 9 millionaires
Glyphmas,
with Glyphmas.
The epic gem cooldown removal, that would have been a get-rich quick. That was a lose money quick for me.
Oh, how many people hit their gold cap the first week of Glyphmas? Like, it was crazy. There were more gold caps gotten through Glyphmas than previously there had ever been. It was insane.
Yeah, okay,
I agree with Kat that if it does pan out, it's going to be huge, and it is the only huge thing that we can foresee happening right now. I'm still trying to make up my mind if we're not to stock up on it, because I'm not sure if I'm convinced that it will happen, but if it does happen, the reward...
Well, like I'm saying, you kind of have to. Like, I mean, because... You know, if it does happen and you haven't stocked up, like, if that's going to be, you know, like, not having a scribe during Glyphmas, like me. Whereas, you know, if it doesn't happen, then you just have a shit ton of pyrite to either unload or just prospect back. And, you know, even with Earth dropping, like, you know, if you're buying pyrite for 150, 100 gold less a stack, like, you should be able to make up... you should be able to make back, like, at least half of what you spent.
I had a question.
Either way, I was just going to say, either way, with the pyrite, you'll still make some gold, whether you can prospect from it or not. I mean, you can always just resell.
That's the thing. I don't see it as that risky of an investment, personally, at the prices, especially with the bots currently on my server, at least. Depends on your server, but I'm getting pyrite so cheap, I don't see a perceived risk, personally.
That's what I was going to ask you. What price point are you buying it at? What are you buying it at?
About 112 G on my server, per stack. That's my goal. I think it's my average. Pyrite also, I'm pretty sure you get 2 blue gems per stack. So the way I look at it is, worst comes to worst, I'm sitting on lots of Inferno rubies from all of that. That'll
you're
be
crazy
for my exmuting.
You're crazy.
How much gold do you have right now?
I have about 1.8 liquid.
You're actually going to spend 560,000 gold on pyrite ore.
More, yes.
With one glass.
And how much do you think you're gonna get? And how much do you think you're gonna get?
Part of my epic gem strategy is I'm going to be transferring toons to Mal'Ganis and Illidan and Blackrock simultaneously once I prospect it all. And personally, I think I could make anywhere upwards of doubling my money transferring to the large rating servers.
You're definitely not doubling nothing because it's going to be spread across 4 different servers from what you said, so essentially you're screwing yourself.
How am I screwing myself? I'm investing into it to move to other servers, which I can then either A, bring back, or
you just said you're going to, I'm not trying to argue here, but you just said you're going to transfer to 3 or 4 different servers. So that way all your money is going to be split 4 different servers. So you're technically, whatever server you decide to play is not going to matter. I mean, because it's going to be spread on so many different servers, your gold is not going to even matter on how much you have, because you're not going to be able to spend it on that server unless you pay $25 to transfer to that server.
Yeah,
I realize the $25. Like. $25 is not an issue. The point is that if I do stockpile as much as I do, and this is neither here nor there, I just want to bring up, I'm bullish about it, I'm going all in. Like, how much I have is no important matter, but someone asked. Anyway, I can't sell all of that on my server. I couldn't sell all of it, you know, I couldn't sell all of it on my server if I wanted to. Uncle Oscar, you can roll on my server and check my gold amounts. I'll show them to you in trade. I don't care. My point is, though, is if you're going to invest that heavily into anything, Glyphmas or anything else, you have to be willing to possibly move your stock. You have to be willing.
See, you say that Epic. You say that Epic.
Stock.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mitch. No, go ahead, Mitch.
Okay. You say that Epic Gems are the only things that's gonna be big, but Chaos said. What about the Maelstrom Shatter?
That's interesting. I think the Maelstrom Shatter could be big. I don't think you can acquire Maelstrom Crystals at quite the clip you can acquire, say, Pyrite Ore. Maybe you'll be able to acquire. I mean, like, Maelstrom Shatter is a good point. I did not think of that. But the other question is, and I'm not familiar with all these, do most of the Maelstrom enchants, do they actually use large stocks of Hypnotic Dust or Greater Celestials? Because I believe most of them do not. Am I correct? Does Landslide take like 20 Hypnotic Dust or 40 Hypnotic Dust?
No, I don't think so. I think it's very little compared to the amount of crystals you need. I think you need 3 for like each one, and I don't think it's that many for dust or essence.
And that's my point. If the current like highest end enchants don't require large amounts of Hypnotic or Greater Celestials, I don't see how the Shatter will be very profitable. I mean, maybe other people have thought this through and can disprove me, but that was my thought on it, at least.
I had a question. I was going to, if you guys don't mind changing subject just for a second.
Yes, please do.
So guilds right now are like 21, they're coming up on 22. And I read that Blizzard is going to, once you hit 23, there's no more cap on your experience for guilds. So my question to you guys is, how can we make money off the fact that a lot of these guilds that are going to hit 23 are going to be trying to rush to get to realm first, guild level 25, by doing all the achievements they can? And what do you guys think about that?
Sell achievements in your guild. Like whatever.
Can we sell achievements the mats that you use for certain achievements, is what I'm asking.
Oh.
Okay, so you know, remember when Cataclysm first came out, the more achievements you got, guild achievements, like cooking like 5,000 meals, and they would actually give you bonus XP for your guild. So that's why a lot of guilds got ahead right at the first couple days. But what they, so then they capped it. You no longer got any achievement. You no longer got bonus experience for your guild for getting achievements. But they said that they are going to, I had read somewhere that at level 23 guilds, you no longer have a cap for how much experience you can get for your guild from doing achievements. So that way there's still a race at the end from 23 to 25 of guilds to get realm first level 25.
Yeah, I see what you're asking, but it's there's nothing that you can actually like sell to profit off of them going for that race, you know. Maybe the crafting achievements where you have to craft the epics and stuff like that. I have no idea.
All right, I throw it out there. I'm going to be doing a post on it and looking up a lot of what achievements people might be doing. But
you would think by the time they get to 23, they've gotten all the easy buyable ones.
Yeah.
Or they decided to wait till 23 to actually pop them out so they can get the extra bonus XP.
Yeah, I'm not certain what's the best way to get XP, but, you know, there might be a lot of just running heroics and running randoms, because, you know, you get 5 people in a guild. I think you'll get, you know, extra bonus experience for doing that. So, you know, there might be a spike in like flasks and buff food. Although a guild that high would probably also have the guild flask and guild buff food. So maybe the mats for those.
Well, I know that before Cataclysm, a lot of guilds basically built up everything they needed to like hurry up and get to level 25, and they were mad, and Blizzard took that away from them. So I'm wondering if that's there'll be something similar. Anyways, just an idea.
Mage, if I may, Roy has a question that has been at the top for a while. If I may address that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Otherwise, I will forget. His question is that he's on a pretty high pop server, and people are really dumping the cattle level enchants for very low prices, like enchant boots, major agility. He says they're going for about 8 to 10 gold, and he's been stockpiling these at 1 gold per dust and 2 gold per essence, and he's got about 1,500 to 2,000 scrolls saved up, but the prices still aren't going up. So is it safe to assume that eventually these enchants will even out with the matched, or he's wondering if he wasted a lot of gold on 1,500 to 2,000 scrolls?
I did that when I first heard about that, and I can say that they are now starting to bring in profit. So yeah, it's just a matter of waiting. Some of them still tank down pretty low, and I'll just buy them back up. But a lot of them, yeah, a lot of them are starting to sell back for, you know, really good profits. You know, bought them for under 20 gold and selling them for 100 to 200 gold now.
I want to go back to Catharsis on his scheme here, or what, I don't know what you want to call it, but your Pyridor. So basically, my question, basically spending money to transfer servers. Basically, you're spending real life money to make gold. Why don't you just buy the gold off a website? Is my question to you.
Because essentially, it's not
okay.
Fun.
Let's take a timeout. Very, very. I'm going to say this, and people can yell at me. Whatever.
I don't care about that. I don't give a shit. Two shits about that. Whatever. But my thing to you is, why don't you just buy in-game gold? Because that's basically, you're paying $25 to make. How much gold do you think you're going to make per server, roughly?
Well, okay, let's take a time out. And first off, the three servers are probably too many. I probably legitimately need to transfer to one, maybe two at most. It depends. Like, but the way I look at it is, what else am I going to do with all these gems? I can't buy this much ore and make gold off of it on my server alone. It's impossible. Like, you're not going to move that many epic gems. Can we agree upon this?
You can move a shit ton if you know what you're doing.
1,000 though of each color possibly, if I hit my goal.
I mean, it'd take a hell of a long time. And
how much
possibly by the time you could end up moving them, you might miss out on the initial rush.
And exactly, on Mal'Ganis I could. Which is why I suggested moving to Mal'Ganis being a workable strategy.
What's the gold cap for transferring servers?
50k. So I'd have to transfer it back in a various form.
Didn't
now on my server.
Up to 100k? I thought it went up to 100k.
It's 100k? Maybe 100k. More importantly,
I think they put it up to 50k, but anyway.
On my server recently, there was a person who transferred on with 2 Spectral Tigers, basically over 1 million gold worth of TCG mounts. Never figured out who they were, but they all got bought up within a week. So if I were to transfer a character off to, say, Mal'Ganis, sell these epic gems, I could come back with 1 million gold worth of TCG mounts, move them quick, bam. Now, I have goals to make 10 million gold. That might sound crazy, impossible, etc., but
I ain't saying it's impossible and crazy. I'm just saying you're setting your limits to one get-rich scheme that may or may not pan out, and you're putting real-life money on it that you can just spend that 20 hours and save yourself the time and effort for something that's not going to work.
I'm just
yeah,
limited
but it's also, you know, his
by my
money
ways
and
to
his
make
plan,
gold.
And it's really irrelevant to anyone else.
I sell glyphs both sides. I sell enchanting mats both sides. I sell raw cut gems. I sell our cut gems and raw uncut gems. Like, I'm basically tapped out currently on my server. I've basically outgrown myself.
I don't understand how you're, like you say now that you're limited on the ways you can make gold, but like, it seems like every week you're involved in like, like Dark Moon cards and all that stuff, and glyphs and all this other stuff. It seems like you're in every single market. I don't understand how you're limited.
I'm limited in how much I can sell. There's a cap on how much you can sell in a week. I don't know.
There is not. You mean a physical cap in the game that says you can't sell? You can only sell.
No, but there's going to be a cap on how much people want to buy.
He's saying there's a saturation point for the amount of gold that people on the server can spend.
Well, if you're in every single freaking thing you say you're in, then you don't have to worry about it. Because you're in every single thing.
I do. My profit... Xander, I don't want to get into an argument about it. I mean... look, there's a limit to how much gold I can make.
We're just curious because it seems like you're in, like he's saying, in every single market, so I don't understand how you're limited by anything. If you're trying to make 10,000 gold,
it's a small server. If you make to sell 6,000 gems on this small server would take me 2 months.
Server size doesn't matter. Any gold making on server side doesn't fucking matter.
That's a lie. I just wanted to add one last thing, is that what you might want to do is move some of your pyrite on your characters over early and start using the same strategy you're using on your server on the servers as well to spread those and start farming those. You farming one server, now farm like 3 servers at once.
Alright, let's go ahead and move on. Okay, question from Fade. Question is Epic Gems will be able to be transmuted and they will require volatiles? Is anyone stockpiling volatiles or specifically volatile fire or any other volatiles of that sort in preparation for transmuting?
I haven't even thought about that. I mean, I use so many volatiles for like my PvP. I usually try to have a decent stockpile of them. Yeah, I have not been thinking about Epic Gem Transmute. That's a good idea.
Won't those have a transmute limit of 1 per day, though?
Yeah, but if you had multiple tunes with, I know people who are in Wrath had multiple alchemists, so it shouldn't be an issue if you have multiple. I know I had 2 during Wrath.
Yeah, I run with 3 alchemists, and I think if any of your characters are like around 80 something and you have a worthless profession like skinning or something, change them to alchemy. I mean, the more alchemists, the better. There's no really limits, and there's no reason to not have quite a few more.
It's also one of the cheapest professions to power level. So that's a more of a plus
except
because you're making your money back.
That's a bitch.
Yeah, I know I've been stockpiling the epic, the rare gems. For the transmutes, but I haven't been stockpiling volatiles. I just haven't thought about it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll wait till it, like, get wind of it in a future patch or something. And then I'll stockpile, because there really don't seem to be a whole lot of huge gold makers that read patch notes and stuff on my server, so I'm usually able to not speculate too much and just wait for the news to hit.
And for all we know, they could link them to something else, too. There's just no way to tell. I would guess volatiles, and to be perfectly honest, that's a great point. I didn't even think about that, so excellent, excellent point. But, yeah, there's just no way to know.
Okay. Next question. This is from the forum thread that I put, or that people can ask questions from. This is from Ayana, I think that's how you say it. He or she recently bought 200 stacks of Cinderbloom at 30 GS stack, which he or she normally uses to sell fortune cards. He's thinking of selling glyphs through them. The problem is that with glyphs, he or she doesn't know what to make. Is there an easy way to find out which glyphs are best to make, or should he just slip into them as herbs and sell the price back up, or...
I use little Sparkies. You know, it takes just a minute to download it, and it'll tell him pretty easily what the mat cost is, and then what they're selling for on the auction house, assuming that he's scanning.
Trade Skill Master, just that's the straight up answer. That add-on will calculate what the cost of a glyph is. Depending on the ink it uses, but if you're using basically it'll just use Trade Skill Master because it does everything for you. It tells you which glyphs are profitable. So
I would also recommend if you're trying to get in the glyph market is to scan with Auctioneer, use Trade Skill Master to look, and then put up some weather balloons, like make 5 glyphs that are selling for the highest amount, like 200 or 100 gold, put them up and just see how often they sell, because you'll get an idea of how much you're going to get undercut in the glyph market. I mean, glyph market's the most cutthroat market you can get into, and you may find, just try to sell those for like a week and see if you can sell them. And if you can sell them, good. If not, then you might realize that every one of your glyphs is going to get undercut in exactly the same way.
I would say if you've already bought the herbs and their cataclysm herbs, I think I'd recommend Little Sparky's Workshop over TSM, because Little Sparky's Workshop, you can actually sort, I believe it's Little Sparky's Workshop, you can sort by sale price, not only by profit. And a lot of the profits for glyphs can be a little strange if you're making black fallow ink and then trading it, because the profit is based on you having the other ink, not on black fallow ink. So it's better if you only have black fallow ink and you're looking to make glyphs and you want to make the ones that will make the most money, you want to be able to sort by sell price, not profit.
And just offhand, I can tell you that Ink of the Sea and Ethereal Ink glyphs are their most expensive ones. The price of inks is usually really, really, really negligible. It's like 2 or 3, a lot of times, gold per ink. And there's 3 inks, so it's like 10 to 20 gold. And you're selling for, if you can, for 175 to 100, 125. The ink cost is usually the least of your worries. It's selling them. That's the problem, getting undercut.
Okay. Not really a question, but it's a thought that I've had for a bit now. With 4.1, 4.2 coming, there will be a new raid, as you guys know, the Firelands raid. With every expansion or most expansions that Blizzard's released, new patterns come out. Like with TOC, the patterns came out for that, and those are BOE. So what do you guys think about that? Like the new tailing patterns that are basically the new
BOE?
Weapons. Yeah. Weren't they BOE?
Oh, thank God, because I don't want to have to raid.
I know they were definitely in Burning Crusade. I think there was some patterns in Lich King that were BOE.
They tend to be there BOE or obtainable.
There was
by,
some
like,
stuff that was BOP though at a like ICC.
Yeah, like all the Serenite ones, the Serenite recipes, I think were BOP, and you had to be like at least friendly with whatever that faction was. I don't know. That's what I'm worried about, because my rogue, I'm pretty much doing strictly PvP on my rogue, and that's my blacksmith leather worker, and I don't want to have to start raiding on it just to keep up with the recipes. I don't know, hopefully they'll do something like that.
In the past few
BOE reps or BOP.
I was just gonna say the past few, I think Ulduar, TOC were BOE, except for enchanting recipes in Ulduar, if I remember correctly. And then you have ICC was Primordial, and then a bunch of them in what's it called? All of the Black Temple ones were also BOE, but the Sands of Time were recipe or reputation. So you have a lot of everything.
Once those are data mined, they'll look at the mats, and if there's something somewhat rare, maybe stockpile a little bit of it.
I think they're called Living Embers. That's a new Primordial Serenite. Burning Embers, Living Embers, something like that.
Any other questions?
Did they ever... I was just wondering if they ever ended up, like, in other expansions, releasing more craftable, like, BOE PvP gear, aside from, like, the really starter set.
They didn't in Wrath, right? Because I know by the end of the expansion, you could still craft the high level 200s.
There was a blue post about that. They said they wanted to add crafted PvP gear for every season.
Oh, wow. That would be nice.
It's also possible they just update the current crafted gear for the next PvP season. It might not be new recipes at all.
I'd also be perfectly okay with that, because I'm loving this crafted PvP stuff, being able to sell it, and I could definitely see that, especially with each season. Like, that'd be pretty popular. So I'm trying to get into PvP, like, a few seasons in, and it was just, you know, shit, because I was using crafted gear that was vastly outclassed by everyone who'd, you know, done anything in the seasons previous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If anybody...
Oh, go ahead.
Nope. Go ahead. That's what I was gonna ask.
I was just gonna ask how cheap your Valor boots have been going for on your guys' servers.
Yeah, about 10k or so. Like, a lot of people will try to sell them for like 12k, and then somebody will go, "What, 12k? Are you serious? They're only like 5k." But I think people are just trying to get them to bring their price down, like people who don't know what's going on.
I'm seeing them for between 6 and 8. Occasionally, someone will try to list a Woe Breeder's boots up for like 12 or something.
They're still listing them and trade on my server between 10 and 12.
I would expect Valor boots to really dump in price with 4.1, though. Being able to get 3/4 of your Valor cap from 5 mans should put a lot more Valor out there.
Any other questions?
Go ahead.
Just real quick, has anybody else seen a shortage of Ember Silk? I was just wondering if they nerfed some more spots.
I did a post on JMTC, as you guys saw. I actually had a couple people say that the spot got nerfed in over there, so that might be something. I don't know. I haven't gone and tested it personally because I just haven't had the time, but yeah.
Is anybody else as disappointed at trying to make money from your tailoring as I got so excited? I made all these dream cloths, and I watched the price just go through the ground and haven't done anything with those two characters since.
That market is just flooded with the epics. It's just everyone's crafting them now. It's so flooded that there's no profit in there.
They might just have to make some big bags with them and just be done with it.
Yeah.
For my own use, not even for sale, because I don't think those probably sell either.
Huntrix has a question, and it was kind of something I was wondering too, because I'm making PvP gear with it. But he was wondering, and I lost it. Hold on.
He was wondering about Savage Leather Scraps.
Yeah, he said Savage Leather Scrap, 15 gold a stack at the moment, which is 75 silver a piece. There's 468 stacks, and he's wondering if he should buy them. Doesn't really... he's saying that... I think he's just looking to flip them.
What's the conversion rate from the scraps to the actual leather?
It's 5 to 1.
And then another 5-1 for heavy savage leather. No, I mean, it's unless you're getting it like really, really cheap, like compared to what the savage leather is going for, it's not worth it. Like I was able to do that when I first got into leather working.
How much savage leather is on your arsenal right now?
I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I mean, the scale goes all the way up to
700, yeah, that's 777 available. Yeah, that would be worth it to try to flip because you're fighting with a lot of people to sell them. And if they're going, I think you said 3 gold a piece at the moment, it's not really that much of a profit to sell them. I mean, you can try.
That wouldn't be a profit at 75 silver per, yeah. I think it wouldn't be a profit.
I mean, but if you really wanted to get them, you could buy them out and save them for during the week and sell them during the week and wait for the weekend to be over. Because that's when the auction house is flooded on weekends and prices dip really low. That's when you should be buying a lot of everything and reselling during the week.
Yeah, I guess just going on with the savage leather scraps, one thing to do to make converting all those to heavy savage leather or just savage leather a lot easier is bind a key to mouse wheel scroll up and the alternate to mouse wheel scroll down, or like shift modifier mouse wheel scroll up and the alt shift modifier mouse wheel scroll down, and then just spam that or just, you know, like drag heavy savage leather onto that key bind, put it there and just spam it, and it, you know, you can tear through stacks much more quickly than you could, you know, just like right clicking them, and significantly more quickly than trying to use the crafting pane.
Yeah, there's a spell for converting savage leather scraps, but you can also just click on the icon and it will convert them automatically. And I think what he's saying is have your scroll to click a bunch of times and just scroll it over. Or you could just sit there with your mouse and mash it a bunch of times to convert it. It's really fast.
Oh,
you can convert it fast.
No, it's
you can convert
faster,
it faster
with
than,
the
you can
scroll
get
wheel.
The other thing, though, I mean, he shouldn't just be short-sighted and stop at Savage. I mean, for the most part, our heavy Savage leather, it's worth it to convert to that. And then you can trade 10 heavies for pristine hide.
Okay, there's one more forum question. From Vivi. Let's see. It's kind of long. I'll just summarize it. Let's see. Just the base question is, how do you find new markets to get into? How do you guys find new markets to jump into that are profitable?
Just watching the market and seeing what you can do to get into it. That's hard. That's not making any sense. The Undermined Journal is watching Undermined Journal and just watch that, or if you don't have Undermined Journal, just scan every day and watch what stuff sells. I mean, if you're doing trade goods specifically, you know trade goods are going to sell. Certain trade goods anyway, rather.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing I tend to do is, like, if you're going back and doing old achievements, like a lot of times you run through areas you hadn't been to for a long time, or you have to do quests you haven't done for a long time, and you'll start to look for maps for something or whatever, and you'll notice these little gaps in here that you've forgotten about. So like doing achievements, like do Lore Master, do like a bunch of those achievements, and you'll find a bunch of these weird little things that you, especially when you go to find, like a perfect example is like when I went to make a, not to talk about it again, but when I went to make my, my flying carpet, and I saw the price for the golden drainites, like those, you know, just in day-to-day things, if you find yourself spending a lot of money, look at the other side and you'll probably find a way to make some money off of that.
Generally, my rule of thumb is I do everything supply side, so if I see cheap ore up, I'll look to do what I can do with the ore. If I see cheap herbs, I mean, what can you do with the herbs? Especially ore in particular, you know, if you see ore going cheaply, maybe cut gems, maybe metas, maybe this, you know, enchanting mats. So I tend to look for where I could convert something into profit.
The easiest way to get into a new market is just to level a new profession. I mean, that's how I got into blacksmithing and leatherworking. I just didn't have those. So I was, well, let's level them up and see what I can do. And I also noticed, like, while leveling, you can kind of find little niches. You know, I know everyone apparently knows about the Enchanted Thorium Blades, but I'd completely forgotten about it while I was leveling up blacksmithing, and suddenly I found out, holy crap, like these disenchanted greater eternal essences, I need those. And just like random stuff like that.
You might also look at like a place like wow-professions.com and like just really look over their recommended leveling flow. And you can see like places where you might be able to make some money off of the fact that if someone's reading that down the line, they're going to buy exactly what they need all the way down the line.
Yeah, especially some of the, now that the leveling boom is over for the people getting new organs and goblins, check your BC trading goods for all professions and some of the lower level, give me a second, wrath herbs and ore and stuff, because all that's really starting to die down now.
The nice thing about having like Undermine Journal back is that if you hear an idea like on a blog or like something else, it's really easy to go check your server just on the browser to see maybe if it's something you should look into. So it's so easy now to check that stuff.
I wanted to know what you guys thought about Darkman Fair trinkets, because my herbs were going for Cinderbloom Whittail between 28 and like 45 goldish. So I bought a metric shit ton, which is a lot. And so I made a whole bunch of cards, and I made like 5 or 6 decks so far. But and my server is medium pop, and we have 3 guilds that are in heroics and a bunch more that are in normal, so I didn't know if that would still continue to be profitable at least a little bit longer.
I made good money last fair. I had 73 decks to move, and I'm down to 12 left. I sold tsunamis at about 14-15, I sold volcanoes at 9, hurricanes at 10. Earthquakes I moved at like 3.5-4k, which was a shock. I moved 60 decks in like basically 3 weeks' time, so And I'm on a server that has three guilds in heroics like you, so I think it's still pretty good. Especially, I mean, considering it's basically free decks, because you're probably turning all of your Black Fallow Ink into something else, I would take it, Princess.
Yeah, Inferno Ink. That's what I did for all of them.
Oh, you converted all the Black Fallow into Inferno as well?
Yeah, I just did it all.
Oh, well, then it takes about 10 stacks of Cinder to make a card, so you'll probably do well.
I figure I turned 22 decks in last fair. I sold all of them but two, and I have 23 decks to turn in this fair. I figure the Volcano, the Tsunami, and the Hurricanes, I figure about 10k a pop for those. It's kind of lowballing it, but, you know, if you can make them for cheaper than that, you're going to definitely make profit.
Bangkok Bill just linked a little article, how, you know, Cataclysm has a couple rare spawn mobs, in the Cataclysm zones. As of right now, they don't really drop anything of value, but, they're apparently being updated to drop a couple BOEs, so that might be something you guys will, want to look into.
Holy crap, yeah. Mobus' Dripping Halberds,
yeah.
359 BOE AGI polearm. That's awesome. Those guys are gonna be farmed to death.
Now, are these all are five man group bosses? I see.
Oh wow! And a BOE riding seahorse that you can use in aquatic environments. So pretty much anywhere, but only in water.
You mean no? Correct the me. Aquatic environment.
I read it as.
Wow, I didn't see that the mount was BOE. That's something. That's pretty big. That's something. I don't. Yeah.
No, I read those BOEs as being added to the loot table. They're not converting the current items over. Is that the correct? Is that what's occurring with it, or?
But that article says that they have to be killed with a five-man group. I killed Gar with 15 of us. Now it was early in Kata, but. It wasn't, you know, just to go smack the crap out of this dude and you're done.
I've heard of people
looking at what to do with them after they've already shown up on the market.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you have to five man them. I think they're just saying five man. It's gonna be a little bit easier with five men.
No, it says that they have a chance to drop loot on par with that of a heroic if killed by a five man group.
Oh, weird.
So, if as soon as you join a raid group
saying,
to kill them,
right now they had a chance if killed. I think they're just saying like, no, I don't know. I don't think that means like you're not gonna get it if you don't kill with a five man. I mean, because I like six or eight man Gar, and we got the loot. I don't know, unless they're changing it, which would just be really weird.
When we killed them, there wasn't anything good in them. And like I said, though, it was in a raid group. So what this is saying is this stuff will only drop if it's in a five-man.
I think those bosses were meant to be five-man. Yeah, I mean, that's what they originally put them in there, kind of.
Well, seeing, like, they're called the Death Knight, what's his name? Solo Old War and stuff like that, and are they soloable at all? Because I haven't seen any of the five man, any of these guys around, but are they soloable?
No, definitely not. I mean, I don't know, like maybe toward the end of the expansion, but I think right now, like they're not that tough. Like, you know, we were able to get Gar down as soon as we figured it out, but he has like a slow and then an AoE that'll take out a ton of your health if you're not out of the AoE, so I don't really know that it's slowable or soloable.
You could theoretically like two-man the whale. He's pretty easy and doesn't do a whole lot of actual damage. The underwater
boss is
guy.
So boring. We did that with like five people and it took like an hour, and it was an hour that I'll never get back of my life.
She got an achievement.
Yeah, that's it.
Isn't that like the whole point of it? You just get like a random achievement. That's like, there's no other reason.
Oh, I wasn't talking about the whale shark. I was talking about the shark boss, like Mobius is his name. He drops the polearm.
Oh. I did not know that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're gonna go for, especially the mount. Since it's BOE.
I think since a lot of us tend to play in solo or small groups, what you might want to do is actually work with the guild to put a bounty up for some of these items and then be willing to pay them the price if they get that to you.
Yeah, I don't know how many of them are actually going to end up on the auction house. At least at the beginning, like especially the reins, I figured most people would want them, even though I don't know why you'd want reins, and the only place you're going to be using them is a place where you already have a seahorse mount.
People have 99 mounts.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah,
unless
mount collectors.
Wasn't there like some speculation about making an underwater city? Like I remember ages ago.
I think after the Vashir fail, I don't think they'll probably be putting many more underwater zones in.
Nah, if they're putting that mount in BOA, they might. I don't know. It's hard to say, but yeah, I personally hate that place. This is horrible, horrible. Any other questions before we shut this down?
Huh?
Any other questions?
Not really a question, just a statement. Not a statement. Okay, that sounds bad. But what I was going to say is I made a post about the, I don't know if you guys covered it before I got here, but about the blue quality gems for people that are doing the shuffle. About selling them during the week and right after patch day for all the raiders, because I've been making a killing just selling the gems raw uncut.
Chaos asked me a question. What's my favorite profession to make gold with? I'm gonna have to go with engineering on that one. A lot of people think that it's not a profitable profession, but it actually is. You just have to try, and the reason I like it is because it's not a very competitive market at all. It's you have basically the whole market to yourself sometimes, and you can make a ton of gold from cogwheels, and it's a great profession to have. Even it helps you out making gold and PvE, PvP wise. So yeah, I'd say that's my favorite profession to make gold with.
I think for me, my favorite profession to make gold with was making glyphs, but back in Wrath of Lich King, when there was less people in the market, I had a ton of fun. I think I made my first 50k like selling glyphs, and that was like selling them for like 30 and 40 gold a piece, when I was like, oh, I sold it for 40 gold. But that was my favorite time for profession for making gold.
Personally, my favorite is still glyphs, just because I love to hate the process of glyph making. But just so you know, I did a post on my blog today that does include, like, if you have two number one, two number two, like what good profession choices are. I think if you have one tune and you're looking for long-term profitability, and that's what you mean by favorite, I would go with jewel crafting and enchanting. Just because you can take part in uncut gems, cut gems, enchants, disenchants. You can take part with two professions in a lot of different markets.
There was a question on one of the comments or one of the recordings from a couple weeks ago. And I don't remember who said this. It was either Catharsis or it was Schwartz, I believe. But they wanted to know, one of you guys had mentioned that you were tanking the market on purpose just to push people out, and he wanted to know if that was happening to you, how you would counteract it, because that's kind of what John S. is going through right now.
I'm the one. So he wants to know, how would he counter someone tanking his market?
Yeah, he says, do you have any advice for someone who is trying to get into glyphs who encounters someone doing this tanking the market thing?
So when someone comes along and tanking the market, there's two possibilities to it in my eyes. First off, they could still be sitting on glyph misglyphs, in which case you can't compete. They made those things with one ink each. Their profit margin is going to be much lower than yours, probably. I mean, you can compete, mind you, but they can turn a profit at a much lower investment than you can. What I like to do, I like to buy people out. If you want to, approach the person and see if they'll buy glyphs in bulk off of you at a good price. still make sure you make your profit, but I'm a huge fan of middlemanning. I love to middleman and not have to manage the AH and turn auto profit, as I like to call it, automatic money I get from just CODing something to someone. If that doesn't work and he just wants you out, period, and he won't buy you out, then your only real option is to compete or back off. If he's putting prices down too low, let his sell, list yours above his, and wait for the market to bounce back. Approaching his competition is also a very smart move, Chaos brings up, but if he's all in, you only have a few different plays, and letting him lose money is one of them, for sure.
Okay, thank you. I just saw that comment a couple weeks ago and wanted to make sure it got answered.
Yeah, Stockpile has like a really good series on competition in the glyph market. I'm trying to find a link to it. I'll just link his blog. That's pretty much where you're going to want, you find most of the information about what to do with people crashing the market or how to handle competition.
Yeah, I was talking a little bit about this before the meeting started with some of the people in the chat, but what I've been doing is I've been trying to price my glyphs to sell them to the people that are selling glyphs. Like on my server, a lot of times we have a few key people that control the market and will often pull the price up to 200 gold a pop. And so I'm pricing my glyphs at like 75 gold, hoping that they'll actually like just buy those to clear them out of the way, and trying to not sell to people buying glyphs, but sell to the glyph people. And so, and plus I'm a little jaded, and so I'm actually trying to drive the price of the glyphs down, like it's auction house PvP, but like I just keep driving the price of the glyphs down. Like glyphs are so cheap, like the glyph inks are so cheap that like I'll just keep dropping them by 20 or 30 or 40. So I mean, technically it's not a way to make money, but it is a way to like feel a little bit better sometimes. So
that's exactly what I want to do at some point. Like I don't know, I keep telling myself this, but I just really can't handle what I'm going to have to do to craft all these glyphs and inks, but just at some point, just completely tank the glyph market. Like that might've been me who mentioned it, like not for profit, just because I hate glyphs right now. And, if I could just create like a stack of everything I know and then just post it all up for 40 gold or something just to piss people off. Although actually, even 40 gold, that's still like
if the glyphs cost me 9 gold in mats and I can sell it for 75 gold, like that's still a pretty dang good profit if they're selling it for 220 gold. So, and I've been selling them that way. I haven't been automating as much as I have in the past, but you just got to get creative with it, and it is fun to watch the price drop on the glyphs on certain, and you can hit them like one glyph one day and then like another glyph another day, like spread it out so they're not always the same glyphs,
I also wanted to mention that the blog Vince is referring to is, I just lost it. The ahpile.blogspot.com for anybody that will be listening to this.
All right, good point.
All right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's a post I read that he was before my time, but the Greedy Goblin, like, I don't know how old this post was, but he really, like, when it's his in-depth post about, like, undercutters, deep undercutters, there was a really nice post about who wins in that market, and that article really opened up my eyes to like how many different levels of glyph sellers there are out there, and I'll try to dig it up and post it in the notes, but it was a really cool article.
Yeah, I think Stock links to that in his series of posts on it. Yeah, Gelvin, I believe, is the guy who wrote it. Gelvin.
Yeah. When Gevlin used to AH, he had some really good information. A lot of it's fairly technical, but it's very interesting stuff nonetheless.
Oh, yeah. If you scroll down to the very bottom of Stockpile's blog, he's got a little index with stuff, and there's dealing with campers, part one, part two, part three. That's pretty much the easiest way to find it.
Max, did you... want to ask a question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a question about the arena. Has anyone boosted people in arena for money?
If I was good, I would do that.
I used to do it.
Yeah, but how much do you take for it?
There's actually a few people on my server that do it. They do, like, probably 2 to 3K for a decent rating for the week.
Yeah, I used to do it more in TBC back when people could actually get weapons doing it. But we have a few people on my server who do it in threes teams, and I think they charge 3K for 1,800 or 2K for the week, somewhere around there.
Alright. Can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Weak bits on my server is 65 gold. I was wondering, can I make fortune cookies for and sell them for like 10 golds a pop and make good money on it? Because no one's making the fortune cookies on my server.
A stack of whiptail is good for 6 black fallow ink, which is basically good for 6 fortune cards. So, and you also get 1 inferno ink out of it. So that's your math. 6 black fallow plus 1 inferno. Figure out, you know, at what rate of whiptail could you make a profit given your server's other goods.
When I have sold the fortune cookies, they tend to sell pretty well, but or you know, like semi well. They're not, you know, not always the fastest moving thing. Like you might be able to move the cards faster, but I think you might be able to get a little bit more for the cookies. I don't know, it's something I keep forgetting about just because it requires me to mill herbs or buy black fallow. But yeah, I mean, you should, you know, with that kind of prices, you should be able to sell cookies for maybe 15 gold each. Just, you know, try to advertise them around raid night because they are, they will give you the best food buff as it is. Plus, you know, you get a free, you know, fortune card.
Yeah, I know that. I'm playing on a high pop server also, so they probably go pretty fast.
Yeah, I mean, give it a shot. Like, especially with whiptail that cheap, like you're. Yeah, that's no reason not to go ahead and try it.
All right. I think I'm gonna go ahead and end the meeting. Let's go from top to bottom. If you guys wanna plug yourselves.
I am Senku from exploitingmyserver.com. I apologize that my site looks like ass right now, but I'm. Still building it and everything right now. Me and Xander are kind of going at it together, trying to figure out how the hell to work WordPress. But anyway, you can send me questions and stuff on Twitter if you want at DOLL8A06. Yeah, that's about it.
Catharsis of Grizzly Hills, Goldmaker, China Farmer, and Level Racer Extraordinaire.
Yeah, pass.
Fade is a doesn't have a mic, but she does have a blog, and she should blog or post her blog in chat.
Yeah, Fade from nerfades.blogspot.com, right? Yeah, I think that's right. But I'm Mage from Just My Two Copper. Follow me on Twitter at Mage Shadow.
I think Noss left. I'm Princess Pwn. You can follow me on Twitter at Princess Pwn. And there's no I in Princess. What? There's not.
It's just funny how you said it. Go ahead. This year, are you plugging? Take that as a no.
Yeah, fine. We'll skip them. I'm Vince of bankofwelcome.blogspot.com. I haven't updated in ages, but I'll get around to that at some point when I have something worth writing about.
I'm Xander Aragon from xandersgoldmine.com. Again, mine looks like shit, too. We're, like Adam said, we're working together. You can follow me on Twitter at Xander Aragon. That's about it, but I do want to throw Bangkok Bill and Flux. You guys can plug yourselves too as well.
Yeah, this is I'm Bangkok Bill from Bangkok Bill's World of Goldcraft at bbwog.org, and you can follow me on Twitter at BangkokBill555.
Hello, this is Flux from Power Word Gold. You can find my blog at powerwordgold.blogspot.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at powerwordgold, and I just got my first podcast up today, so go give it a listen and let me know what you think.